flesh and the bone, the beat of the road, a slingshot stone, a fish, a flash, a silvery glow, a fight, a bet, the rain shook a bow, the word of the wind, steps in the hall, a scratch, a lump, it is nothing at all. A drop is the end of the tale. A truckload of bricks in the soft morning light. The shot of a gun in the dead of the night. A mile of must, a thrust, a bump. It's a girl, it's a rhyme, it's a cold, the mumps. Plan the house, the body in bed. It's the car that got stuck. It's the mud, it's the mud. The promise of life is the joy in your heart. A float, a drift, a flight, a wing, a hawk, a quail. The promise of spring.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Easter Sunday edition. It is, of course, the 8th day of April 2007, Easter Sunday, and I'm doing a file for a short time here, a little bit of a rant. For you all, I have taken a few days off again because I'm a little tired, and I've come back actually to talk to you about the disinfo people again. And why do I keep revisiting this mess? Well, because there are hundreds of thousands of people who have awakened to the fact that something terrible happened on September 11th, and it was not what the government told them. And they've awoke to the facts that there is something rotten in the leadership of the country and that we need to do something desperate, but they don't know what. And there are so many voices for these people to listen to, so many people to maybe not believe or try to believe or believe in. So many people that you try that want you to believe in them is what I'm trying to say here. And when I first started doing this, it was a fluke actually, and it was really based on my knowledge that George Bush did not win that election, the second one around. I knew something was wrong before that, but as that sunk into my head, an anger erupted in me. That I knew this man stole that election, and my belief in America as a free nation crumbled when I came to that realization. And having given up my health for the country, I was injured in the military, and my father gave up his life for the country in the military, and I decided to do what I could by sharing some of the ideas that I had. Little did I know at the time, and here's, I guess this is true for everybody. We all think we have a good grasp of the things that happen around us at any given moment. Even now, I think for the most part, I have this, and I've said it before, I have it figured. And if I knew the entire truth, I would probably be dumbstruck by how little I really do know. But that being said, getting onto RBN was a fluke. And I think John Stadtmiller, when he asked me to go on, did it because he thought it would be a good, good marketing tool. We got an American angry from France. And he realized I probably would be able to speak on air well. In fact, that's what he told me. He told me I can pick people who are able to speak well on the radio, and you're one of them. And so he said you probably would make a good presenter, and it would be a good idea. And in fact, we came up with the name French Connection together, believe it or not, John Stadtmiller and I on a telephone call. Now, it wasn't long before I realized this guy was out of his mind. I don't know what his story is, but he is a nut job beyond anything I can describe to you. He's called my wife things like Maynard has, but he lied to me. He cheated me out of some money for things that I had paid for that he said he would, and he did a lot of stuff, this guy. But then he also supported a white racist, white supremacist position, and I actually, if you go back in the archives, you can hear all that stuff at the RBN archives. I don't know if they still don't carry it on their site, but I know those archives are up on the net somewhere, or somebody has them. Maybe, well, I'll get to Masher in a couple of minutes. Maybe he's got them. He'll release them with all the bad things that I've done. This guy. By the way, he's a huge disinfo, this guy, and we're gonna talk about that in a little while. But anyway, when I started looking into this, I was doing the company line because they were trying to sell me Planet X. They were trying, I mean, all this stuff they're trying, and I never believed that aliens were visiting the Earth. I never thought that was true, ever. I always thought that was a fraud, even when they started putting Dr. So-and-so in front of the reports and all of it. I thought it was nonsense. And then I started, hooking together, why would they put a truth teller like Jeff Rentz and mix him with the Hale-Bopp crowd? And it finally dawned on me, they're trying to lead people away from the facts, or they're trying to marry facts with nonsense so that it can be discredited. It made sense to me, and I came to some conclusions on my own and began to put some things together. And I didn't have any guests in the beginning. I was very good at chasing people down to come on air. In fact, I was one of the only people ever to get, at the time, Ralph Nader to come on three times. Came on to my show. Now, he doesn't do radio shows very often, but he did mine three times, and it was because I actually convinced him to do it. And, Ralph wouldn't go anywhere with this stuff. And by the time I did a third interview with him, I was trying to get him to talk about World Zionism, and he absolutely wouldn't. And that was the last time he ever came on with me. Little did I know, his sister was an academician in the West Coast and had ties to Zionist academia, but I don't know what she's doing with those ties. I don't have any evidence that she's actually a bad person in any way, but I know that she's tied to them somehow. But as time went on, I started connecting the dots. And of course, not having a lot of energy, I would only put a few hours a day in, and just take a look around and stuff, my evenings and whatnot. And I was doing these broadcasts at night anyway, but time went by, and I started realizing what the heck was really going on. It took me some time. Leaving RBN, toward the end of RBN, I was coming on board with the facts, and it was when I got introduced to Eric and had read some of Christopher's work and some other people, and I think actually some of the first stuff that I read was Carol Valentine came along early on and some others, and it exploded in my face, this information. I went, holy Toledo, this all makes sense to me. And at first I didn't want to believe it because I had the same knee-jerk reaction that most people have. Because I was equating the Jewish community to this, which you all know not all Jews are involved in this. This is a Zionist plot, and you're starting to see more and more Jews come out against them, which is wonderful, I got to tell you. Even Roseanne Barr is coming out against them. I don't know what that's about. I don't trust anybody until I see what they do over time. But the point is I know a lot of the Jewish community is not with them. They're panicking. They're panicking in the press, but I got over to GCN by hook or by crook, and right away, Alex Jones hated me, didn't want me on that network from the first day. Never called me, never talked to me, and I was the newest GCN host and didn't want anything to do with me. And even when I called him his radio show one day, his response was, "Oh, it's you." Was his response to me calling his show, "Oh, it's you." This is before I realized how bad he really was. His bellowing over there and nonsense. But I didn't get involved in this to become famous, and I didn't get involved in it to be liked by people. And in fact, if you know anything about me, I'm not a likable guy, by anybody for that matter. I mean, I'm a tolerable person in some instances and intolerable at other times. That Eric will tell you if you ask him. But I don't give a rat's patootie about any of that because I don't care if you like me or you don't. I don't care if the listeners like me. I don't care if you hate me. It doesn't matter to me one bit. Never has. It's never gone over well with people I worked for in my life, nor has it gone over well with family members or everybody else, because I really just don't care whether you like me or not. And I don't, if I don't like something you do, I just tell you what I think. And I've seemingly have burned a lot of bridges by just being blunt and not giving a crap what people thought. That's me. I'm not antisocial. I do have a code that I try to live by. Sometimes I don't live up to it, but I try to. I don't hurt other people. This is my code, basic. That's it. And I, you know, my rights end where yours begin. I've always had that as a concept in my head. And, you know, I've never treated myself as well as I should. And by virtue of not treating myself well, you know, members of my immediate family had to watch me go through a lot of machinations that hurt them. Now, I never made the connection that what I was doing was any of their business. But that was back when I was in my 20s and even 30s. Now I'm 50, and I have made that realization at least. But you have to understand that when I, you know, I read this a lot, even from supporters. You know, he's not the most likable guy, and yeah, he's kind of rude, and he's, who cares? This is not about me. This has never been about me. And in fact, now that I have less and less energy to do a lot of this stuff, because I have, I'm going to tell you what it is I have a bad liver, ladies and gentlemen, and it causes me to feel sick all the time. And, you know, I received 4 transfusions from surgeries that I've had over the years, and apparently I've fallen ill. And yeah, please don't send me with all your cures. I've been through every one, and I know all of it. And trust me, I do the best I can with my life here. Much of what I need to do is rest more and eat as wholesome a diet as possible, and not put anything in there that poisons me. But that being said, all this stuff that happens here has never been about Daryl Bradford Smith, which, by the way, is the name I was born with. And I'll tell you that right up front. My father's a Smith, and my grandma's a Smith, and my grandpa's a Smith, and they were Limeys. They were Jicky Limeys that came in here in the early 1800s. They were not the side of my family that was over in Newport and Mayflower and the rest. That's my mother's side. But anyway, this whole mess, you know, I've read so many hit pieces on me, and of course it makes perfect sense that there would be so many against Eric, myself, and Boleyn. It makes perfect sense. Because they're afraid of us getting traction on the Zionist thing, and they can't discredit us. They can't put me in jail because I'm not against Jews. And I don't run around screaming Jew, Jew, Jew. I don't do that. I'm against a political movement called World Zionism. You know, I don't care what your religion is in this planet. I particularly don't ascribe to that stuff. And that's my right as a human being. And if you want to be Jewish, fine. But if you carry out acts that infringe on the rights of others and usurp the ability of other people to have a good life and to be free, then you're a criminal in my eyes, and I'm going to come out against you, and that's exactly what I've done. And that's why I'm against World Zionism, not Jews. I'm against the Christian Zionists as well. I'm against the Hindu Zionists over in India that are helping Israel, and the ones that are working in Pakistan with the Israelis. Yeah, I'm going to surprise some of the Pakistani public, but their leadership is in league with these criminals in Israel, and so are many people in the Iranian government, as far as I can see. But when you take a look at the truth tellers and why I keep going back to the fact that most of them are liars, and, you know, we outed so many, Eric, and I think we did some funny stuff with the Flocko Flambe and, you know, the one, Barbara Olson picking apples in my backyard, and we did the one with the bovine gas theory, and we did a lot of crazy stuff. But we were principal in getting rid of this Flocko guy and Stu Webb moron and Slotnick or Skolnick or whatever his name is, or Leon Rubenstein there. What's his name? I don't know anyway. But Lenny Bloom, which is not his name. His name is Bloomstein or something, or Blomstein or whatever. We were instrumental in bouncing these guys out. I don't say we take all the credit for it, but certainly. And there are many, many more that we need to get rid of. Why would we concentrate so much on that? Because many people follow these morons. And they have an honest and genuine interest in knowing the truth. But they've been misled. They've bought the garbage. And they've been hooked by the lip, and they're being dragged around by the lies of these groups, and we could use their support. We could use their numbers. We could use the fact that they understand the facts, and see, this is where a critical mass would be developed. Now, whether or not that critical mass is going to be developed under our banner or under the banner of the facts, it matters not to me. What matters is that when Eric and I started this, now there have been people that said, you're not responsible for bringing out world Zionism. Well, certainly not. And neither is Carol Valentine. She helped put it forward to the next generation, but Nesta Webster did it way before us. Henry Ford did it way before us. Ben Friedman, Fagan, all of these people did it way before us. Elizabeth Dilling did it long before us. There are French writers going back centuries that have talked about this criminal group of Jewish supremacists in the highest levels of government. Rasputin and the rest of it. Oliver Cromwell, I mean, the people who started Calvinism. When we can go back into history, go do your research. It's on my site. Go listen to Rafig and the rest and find out these people aren't even originally Jewish. They're Khazarian Ashkenazis. And the fact is, we did not invent the information. We found it again. We rediscovered it. But what we did do is we repopularized it in many ways. And we have brought it back into the movement in a way that is getting traction. Now, a lot of people out there, when we start talking about it, we were called nuts by everybody. And it was the beginning of the end of our exposure in the mainstream. They started marginalizing the heck out of me, Bolin, and Eric Hufschmidt. We were just pushed to the side. No one would link to us. No one would talk to us. No one would. And even these so-called, you know, because we didn't want anything to do with them anyway, so this is actually a blessing. But these fake white supremacist organizations, the Vanguard and the Aryan Nations and that stuff, that's all Jewish front organizations. That's all nonsense. And I'm so sad for the people who don't think it is, but it is. That's a Morris D's Southern Poverty Law operation from the very, very beginning. Not a single question in my mind. And if you think it isn't, then boy, you have something wrong with your brain. And anybody out there who thinks white people are better than anybody else are stupid. I'm fighting against criminals, not against other races. And anybody who wants to place race in the fore here as an issue is just an idiot. You know, there are good and bad people in every race. Black, red, yellow, doesn't matter where you're from. There are kind and people who understand that their rights end where yours begin and vice versa. And then there are people who don't give a rat patootie and they'll just, you know, run over you wholesale and take whatever they can from you and crap down your neck when they have the chance. And so this is about trying to get the information out to a group of people who have been lied to or deceived so that the information we have reintroduced becomes popularized within this alternative media. And it has worked. Now, we have not benefited largely from it. We were still between 8,000 and 12,000, depending if we get a good article out there. And I've been doing fewer files, so the numbers have actually dwindled down to the 8 side of things, 8,000. But when we do something big, you know, of course we still get exposure, but 8,000 people, ladies and gentlemen, is dogwood compared to what we need to get, you know. But if you look at other people who started talking about Zionism and discussing it and putting it as a main part of their research, then what we've done is something quite remarkable. And it really doesn't matter if I don't have the energy really to be a leader in this mess anymore anyway, but I do have the interest in seeing this brought to fruition. I do. And, of course, Eric and I, you know, sometimes when we're talking, he says, you know, there's only so much you can put out there about this stuff. And of course, when you start retreading everything and redoing everything, it becomes really laborious and really, you know, painful. And then all the emails I get, Jesus, I mean, I'm still getting 30, 40, 50 a day, depending on what stuff's happening. And I still get people writing me letters asking me, well, why don't I like this? Or how come I think that's bad? And some of them are very sophomoric questions. Like the answer should be self-evident, but they're not to some people. I had one recently about Scientology. This moron wrote, they call it a religion. It's not a religion. It's a bunch of idiots who are probably being blackmailed, or a bunch of other lonely hearts that got sucked up into something stupid and they gave their money away. The people that have been taken advantage of in Scientology deserve it, by the way. They're stupid. You know, maybe we just thin out the stupidness out of our lives by getting rid of some of these idiots. But people, you know, it's basically using, and I think it's a Zionist organization, Scientology. I think along with questioning, starting this question, you know, these other religions who think spaceships are going to bring back the Messiah, and think about Mr. Smith's and Mr. Brigham Young's thing over there with spaceships going to bring your religion back to you. What the hell's wrong with them? And you know, and there's some Kabbalistic connections to that group as well. Wouldn't surprise me a bit to see more connections to these Zionist criminals coming out on both groups. In fact, I've asked Eric to look into some of the facts around Scientology. I mean, I don't think it's a religion, and really it's such a fringe nut job group. I mean, it's so discredited. I mean, look at this. Look at who their leadership is. You got this flaming Nimrod, John Travolta, kissing some guy on his airplane, or you've got this dipstick Tom Cruise and his moron for a wife joining that crap, and you know, and it all goes back to the same crooks. But anyway, that being said, all of this stuff, it seems easy for me to understand, but I have to understand a little better, I guess, if people new to this, they don't get it, and I have no patience for this. I never have any patience for anybody. I get very impatient with people. I have a short fuse when it comes to accepting people's inabilities, and that's my own thing going on there. And you know, like I said in the beginning of this broadcast, I don't get along with people because I don't want to usually, and it's because I don't suffer fools very well, and of course. And I don't like being disappointed by people I trust, and who knows what the reasons for all that stuff are. You know, I'm sure some Zionist Jewish psychiatrist would love to do a analysis on why I feel this way, but lo be the day that happens. Anyway, this stuff that we're putting out these days is all about trying to get this stuff more mainstream exposure, and we're trying to migrate people away from the crooks. Now, have we misidentified some people? Maybe we have. And when I find out that we did, I do a mea culpa. You know, I said the other day after watching a video by this guy, Rye Dawson, that I thought his video was weak because it only went to the first layer. Didn't say he was a disinfo. I said that the video was weak, and it could have been stronger if he went to the next level where where the Honigs were, and the Miller family, and the Brooks family, and the Walper family, and the Spielberg family, and the Kahn and Loeb and Forbes and Ashton, whatever there, I don't know, the one in New York, and all of these different Zionist families that have been in this power elite group forever, that would have been a much more informative video. But instead of taking it as a constructive criticism, he thought I was trying to trash him, and then went ballistic like a Nimrod. That's not what I did at all. And, you know, coming out against Nolo Jobs here, why has he still got the American Spectator? Why did he have that on his site? Why were these connections to so many places? Why did he say his group was no John Birch Society, which it doesn't. It didn't. He just carried on the same website from when he was the Northern Louisiana chapter of the John Birch Society. John Birch is a Zionist-run front, ladies and gentlemen. Now, whether this guy realized that they were Zionists or not is immaterial to the fact that his connection stayed with those people as far back as 2004. And he still has some very tight-knit group members that are from that group. So, and does that mean he is a Zionist? Well, I don't know. But his ties are very suspicious. And then we get this guy over to Posing Digits. All I can tell you is he's just like Masher. He is a agent provocateur and a Zionist. That's all there is to it. He always has been. He's out there to destroy the connections between the truth and the mainstream. That's what he's there for. He's there as a blocking factor in people. He wants people to start fights between Christianity, which is the predominant religion in America. And so, you know, I don't trash Christianity, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't need to sit here and berate my audience, nor do I think it would be productive, and do I think it's going to meet the ends in the final analysis here. Nor do I have to berate the people who believe in Judaism. Although I do go after Zionists because they're crooks. And I go after Christian Zionists because they're crooks as well. And I go after mafioso figures who work with these people because they're criminals as well. And our politicians who are bought and paid for because they are acting in criminal ways by allowing themselves to be controlled by this group. They're criminals as well. Simple. So how hard is it going to be for us, for myself, for Eric, for Jimmy Condit, for Bolin, and so many of you others out there that have worked hard at, and then, you know, there's so many of you. I don't want to list them. But I do want to let everybody know that I do appreciate the effort, because this is not about me, never has been, and I'll tell you something, if this starts getting better traction, you won't hear me doing any more files. I'll let stand what I've done. You can go through the archives and listen to Ray Figg and listen to Barry Turner and listen to David Pidcock and to all of the people I've had, you know, McDonald on his machinations and all of these people. Lorraine Day, even though she's mad at me for writing about Mr. Zundel, which we've got some big questions about why certain people are trashed in the media and held up, and others are held up, and it's a weird thing. You know, they want to frighten people into silence, I think, but still working on that. So this is why, and this is you know, Easter Sunday. They're trying to. There's no doubt they're trying to get an attack going in Iran, and I think they're doing a test on what the opposition is going to be to their efforts, and they're trying to get people conditioned into the idea that it's going to happen sooner or later. And this is how they've always done these things. You know, they kind of soften you up for the blow, so that by the time they do it, everybody's. Nobody even believes it anymore because it becomes a non-issue. So they got people out there like Ritter, Scott Ritter, who used to like to introduce a lot of the stuff they were going to do in advance, soften the crowd. And then he'd go on his speaking tour and say 19 hijackers did the stuff. When knowing full well that seven of them are still alive, this man, knowing full well, Why? Because they caught him and they blackmailed him. He's a diddly-doer over there. But anyway, I digress. Going back to this guy, Masher. Yes, one of the posters on Wake Up From Your Slumber, who wrote something. There was an article written there by Fester. The Wake Up From Your Slumber article, I have no problems with. But this guy, Masher, I kicked him off my MySpace site. In fact, he holds the dubious distinction of being the first person I ever kicked off of MySpace. And my only mistake was ever allowing him on my MySpace, because the guy immediately started crap fights everywhere. Lies, deception, insults, massive postings of nonsense. I'm absolutely convinced that he is a Zionist and a troublemaker, a agent provocateur. If you go back and look at what he did on Mathaba, he always just trashes me with insults, never with facts. And it was pointed out quite clearly on that site that that's exactly what he does, and he's always done that. There are other people who do that, who call me doo-doo head all the time. Andrew Mathias, or Mathis, or whatever he like calls himself, working for a Catholic university, a Zionist through and through. He'll claim he's not, but he defends Zionist dogma voraciously. But he doesn't ever say yes, he does. He puts up the Zionist line and then says, we're wrong. And then he says, my proof is that some Zionist historian wrote this, or some book came out from during the Nuremberg trials, you know, which everyone knows were coerced confessions. Look, this is what they said, and it's nonsense. Anyway, and most of it is calling us names, and in fact, just like Kurt Maynard is calling my mother names, Andrew Mathis over there has called my wife things, which I have saved in emails. Got a whole bunch of emails where he used foul language and the F word, and he threatened me. I got that in writing. He called my wife names and threatened. He said he knew where I lived, and he threatened me in that respect. He threatened to have me put in jail. He threatened all kinds of stuff. So, you know, of course, to fight back, I got a list of all of the alumni at Villanova where he works and said, I'll write to every alumnus, and I'll send all those emails to every one of them. And I will call the director of your university and tell him, the dean of the school, and tell him that I will browbeat every donator to your University of Villanova. And you will lose millions, because most of the people donating to your school have nothing to do with Zionism. They're probably Catholic family members or people with professions that have been donating. And it's, you know, the universities rely on donations. And this guy's tenure there would be... he'd be in trouble. And he already is in trouble. I think other people have complained about this Nimrod, but that's not going to dissuade him from his nonsense. But Masher should be marginalized. I'll just let you know that. He's a filthy, sick moron, and he should be marginalized. And I rarely make this personal, but this guy, he needs to be gotten rid of as far as listened to. Everybody should just, as soon as they see this guy. But lo and behold, I'm sure he's got several personalities or personas on the internet, pseudonyms, if you're one of my French listeners. But, you know, clearing this stuff up, you know, it's nice to know that most people can see through the crap. I mean, you know, one of the things I want to do is have everybody understand the power structure. Of course, the banking connections are our next outing here. We're going to try to get information about how this banking structure, the names of the current participants in the crimes of the banking structure. This is what's important to us. We need to know this, you see. And until we get that done, we won't know the whole story. That is really the next thing we want to work on, and maybe some of the other front groups in America. And we want to continue to pound away at this liar, this guy who denies the Zionists or have anything to do with it. In fact, he said three or four times that there's some indication. There's some indication that they were there. the Jews of Israel. Now, I'm telling you right now, the Jews of Israel, most of the people living in Israel, are duped. Yep. They've been lied to just like the rest of the world. But they've been lied to in a different way. They've been told that if they don't follow Zionism, that the goyim are going to kill them. So for them, it's even more critical. So they give their full allegiance to these crooks. Oh, save me from these people. They're going to come and get us. The Muslims will get us. The Christians will get us. Everybody hates us. Well, what they don't tell you is that it's the stuff that your leadership is doing that is the reason why people don't like you. And then the lies that you accept from them are why you're getting this kind of press. You need to understand that. Because the Jewish community that has seen through the deception is absolutely squarely against Zionism, and it is growing. Genie's out of the bottle. They can't put it back in. It is a done deal. The Pandora's box has been opened, and old Pandora is out, ladies and gentlemen. Can't put her back in there, and I don't care what they do. This is not going to go away this time. They're not going to fix this one. And I know that that you out there are going to help us get these words out to people. And you're going to carry on with the pounding away at getting this into the mainstream. We don't need the press anymore. People are waking up to the fact that they're a bunch of liars. But don't buy their magazines anymore. Even when you're in a situation where you're going to be bored, or in an airport, or you're in a bus terminal, or you're in a train or something, don't buy their magazines. Boycott everything from the Zionist community. That's why I've wanted to collect names and stuff. I thought, you know, that I would have the energy to put together lists of who they are and everything. I've tried, and you know, it's and Eric's tried, and but you know, he runs a business, and Bolin is trying to keep himself out of harm's way over there, and which brings me to another thing. I want to urge everybody to give Christopher your support over there, and you know, I live, and Chris lives, on a shoestring. I have barely enough to feed myself and my family. I live in a house that is in desperate need of repair, with a temporary roof, with plumbing that's from the 1940s, where electrical is, where they have plugs that don't even exist anymore. That's how old it is. But I love my little home here. It's nice. My wife is a wonderful human being, one of the only people that loves me unconditionally. There's a few people in the world that are like that, in spite of me being an irascible, crabby, grouchy bugger. And, yeah. So, this rant has gone on a long time about this stuff, but I think it was important because, you know, somebody said in one of the posts that credibility is everything, you know, and once you've lost that, you have nothing. Because, you know, if you're not credible on these issues, ladies and gentlemen, and the credibility, the proof is in the work, you know. And I try to get it right more often than not here. And sometimes I have been known to make a you know, if there's 10, and I might say 12, but it's not intentional. There's no deception involved in that. It's just, adding the two comes as a matter of course sometimes when you're telling somebody information about something off the top of your head. So I don't work from notes. I don't make notes. I read things and then I try to remember them verbatim. And when I'm at the top of my game, I can give you back stuff verbatim from large amounts of information. And when I'm not at the top of my game, I can't. And so sometimes it sounds like I've missed the numbers or something. But anyway, I'm actually getting a little bit weary at the moment, and I want everyone to know, you know, this is the springtime here. This is new beginnings. This is the time of the year where everything begins anew in our country. And I see out in my little patch of earth over here all the flowers coming out, and I smell the springtime in the air, and it's a new start for us, and we need to redouble and start really letting the world know that Zionism is on its way out, and we need a gang, a pile up, a gang pile on pig pile, we used to call them when we were kids. We need to pig pile on Zionists. relentlessly. You know, we need to make the word Anti-Defamation League a foul word. As foul, worse than the word Nazi. We need to start calling these people Judeo-Nazis. Ashkenazi Judeo-Nazis. Because what we do know is that they financed them and worked with them. They were hand in hand with these people getting their people out to build Palestine. And they used the Nazi regime to get rid of their political enemies. Put them in work camps. Starve them. Yeah. Do your homework. And we need to inform the German people that their country is bought and paid for and owned and operated by Zionist Jews and the Zionist movement. And the French that they're going to elect a criminal Zionist. We need to tell them, if we can. Because if Europe becomes even more fully under their control, which it already is under their control, but more, that does not bode well for America. There is a symbiotic relationship between information and people, between the British and the Americans and the French and the Americans and the Germans and the Americans. And we need to fight together to stop these people. We do. Because they have spread them their tentacles around the world. Yep. Anyway. I said a lot of stuff tonight in this file about a lot of things. I hope some of it is not too much of a revisit. But again, our first job is to get migrators away from the liars. That's our first and most important job. Because those people that are listening to these others are already proven themselves willing to fight alongside us. So basically what we need to do is just get them to take a look at the truth. And these facts about Zionism will grow. And what will happen is they will become aware of the liars amongst them, the people that have been working around them that are Zionist crooks, because the truth will allow them to single these people out. Nothing like the truth to the light brings spotlighted on these people to stop them. You know, these Phil Bergs of the world and the rest of these liars. You got a bunch of them. They're all out there. I've gone through the list. Eric has too. You know, and we need to keep pointing out the nonsensical information that comes out of these UFOers and these Rents people who promote that nonsense, and the George Nori crowd and the Alex Jones and the, you know, the German death cult stuff, you know, and all the rest of these liars. Because once you've made the leap into the facts, you start seeing the truth everywhere. It just pours in every sense that you have. Every orifice, every pore in your body begins to understand the depth of the deception. So make it a priority, ladies and gentlemen, to get these people to migrate away from the crooks and liars. This guy Michael Piper saying that Eric's afraid to talk because he's working for the, he said he's actually working for the Scientologist. This is the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard. He needs to be done away with in this movement. This guy needs to be completely eliminated from this group. Completely. Laughed out of it. We need to just laugh him out like we did with Tom Flacco, because he is a Flacco. And him, you know, working hand in hand with a known Satanist over there at his place. Now that doesn't mean anything either. It's the crooks that, it's the crimes he's committing by disinformation and lying. He's a Morris Dees fudge packer over there. That's what he is. This guy Piper. Somebody sent me something funny. I'm not going to share it with you because it's kind of vulgar. But you know, anyway. but he got called on Friday. His name's Bernie. And I don't know how many Bernies out there are not Jewish, but I'm sorry if there are some of you. But I know that most Bernies are. And that would not matter either. But when you look at his deeds, because being Jewish has nothing to do with anything. But when you marry it with deeds, with actions, with affiliations, now, this guy, in all his time in this work, he has not made much of a difference in anything. know, it wasn't because Michael Piper was out there that World Zionism was exposed. This stuff didn't get traction until Eric, myself, and Bolin really pounded away. That's right. Do the math. You know that stuff anyway. And I mean, of course, your help, the listeners here, have made it possible. Of course, so we couldn't do it without you. And yes, I'm certainly not the most easy guy to get along with, and never will be. I'm never going to soften my edge. Don't want to. I like not liking everybody. It makes me feel better. Anyway, I'm going to call this a file. I want you to be well. I want you to pursue your own dreams. Remember that your rights end where others begin. Simple. Keep that in mind all the time, because that's the only golden rule that you're really going to live by. Because if you apply that fully and liberally across your life, you won't be screwing up. It's the simplest rule there is, and it's the most important one. Till the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all to be well. Bye-bye now.